So it'd be good if you could keep that open before you and you can refer to it as we follow through. I wonder if you have a special place, a place where you love to be, but where you can only get to occasionally. I know Steve Riches loves the City Ground. Some of you have a favourite beach. The Brunnings, I think it's Puttsborough, is that right? I like to head down there even for a day trip. Nick and Andy love Saundersfoot. Nick dreams of being there and walking on the beach. We'll be soon, is that right, Nick? But they're not always places that we can live day in, day out, even though our hearts are there. We love to be there. Some of our young people are down at Hill House Camp this week. A good number of them, either leaders or campers. They love being there. They look forward to that annual trip, to be with their friends, to be in that environment is very special to them. But they can't be there every week. And for the writers of Psalm 84, the sons of Korah, their favourite place was the temple. Not because of the building, but because it was where in a special way God was present among his people. It was where they could meet God, particularly because of it was the place of sacrifice. Let's just read verses 1 to 4 again. You see how they speak about this place. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for her young, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. O Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. We focused on these verses last week. If you weren't here, you can hear that message on our website. But I have to confess, folks, that having done additional research this week, I realized I got something wrong last week. That's not irregular, I'm sure. But I've been aware this week that I've got something a bit skew. The psalm is written by the sons of Korah, who were singers in the temple. And as we will see, their role also includes being gatekeepers. However, I had thought last week that they were permanent singers in the temple. It was their job all year round. And that they were the ones like the sparrow who had found a home in the temple. And then I thought that from verse 5, when it comes to our church verse for the year that we've just helpfully sung, I imagined that the temple singers were writing about others who were on their pilgrimage to the temple. But what I've learned this week was that the individual sons of Korah weren't permanent residents and singers at the temple. They didn't even live in the vicinity. But rather, they lived a distance away and they took it in turns. There were different groups of the sons of Korah. There was kind of a singer's rota. And their turn came around once a year for a 2-week period. And so it's the sons of Korah that are writing this psalm. And they're almost envious of the sparrow and the swallow. They get to make their home in God's house. How blessed are those who dwell in your house. They're ever praising you. And these sons of Korah, their heart is to be there, to be in this special place. Their heart is wanting to be there and praise God continually. And yet they only get to do it occasionally. Maybe they're also thinking of people like Samuel. Now, interestingly, Samuel, do you remember little Samuel whose mother Hannah took to the temple? Samuel was raised by Eli. Samuel lived and grew up like these, the young of the swallow, making her nest. Samuel grew up in the temple. And interestingly, Samuel was also a descendant of Korah. Samuel was one of the sons of Korah. And so these distant relatives of Korah now are thinking back also to Samuel. Ah, oh, how wonderful it must have been for him to grow up in the temple, surrounded by God's people, in that environment, praising God all the time. So the sons of Korah live away from the temple, but their heart is in the temple. It is their longing to be there. My soul yearns and faints for the courts of the Lord, because my heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. And so when we come to verse 5, let's read that again. Or shall I get you to sing it? No, we'll read it. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. When they write that, they're writing about themselves and others who, on these annual occasions, or the three occasions when they're due to go and present themselves for the festivals, you can read of that in Deuteronomy 16. Three times a year, especially the men were called to go for the festivals, they would set their hearts on that pilgrimage. They would set their hearts on going to the temple. Now, blessed are those whose strength is in you. You can imagine pilgrims on a long journey. They need strength, right? But how do we put our strength in the Lord? How do we put our strength in the Lord? I was pondering this yesterday when I was running out of strength. We've been doing some landscaping in our garden. And yesterday involved mixing load after load of sand and cement and laying patio slabs. And my strength was failing. But what kept me going? Your strength is what keeps you going, right? So what kept me going? What kept me pulling another bunch of strength out of my weary body to mix another load of cement in the warm sun were things like this. I wanted to get the job finished. I want that sense of accomplishment. I don't want Rachel to look out of her kitchen window at a mess for weeks on end. I want a garden that's better for enjoying with other people. And so in a sense, these things were my strength. These things gave me strength. Those things helped me to pull another bit of energy out of the bag when I felt like I had none. And I'm sure you can think of times in your life when you've needed that sense of perseverance. That sense of, I am weary and tired, but I'm on a pilgrimage, I'm on a journey, and I need to pull a bit more strength out of this dwindling tank. Maybe it's a sporting event. Thinking of Nikki doing that 25 kilometers for her 50th birthday. That sense of, I'm going to do this. That sense of achievement. Or when you've gone through your exams and you've got to write your assignments and you're up all night and you're revising. I am going to succeed. I want those grades. I want that good job. And those things give you extra strength. Maybe it's a project at work. And again, that sense of wanting to please your employer, to do a good work. How about giving birth to children, if you've ever gone through that? Or been at somebody's side as they've done that. You're so tired, so zapped. Feel like you just can't do another push. But what gives you that extra strength is that sense of love for this child, wanting to see that child, and somehow your strength is renewed with that desire. And then once you've given birth to them, how on earth am I going to bring them up? You know, getting through the sleepless nights and the difficulties. You have to have something that gives you the strength to keep going. And the sons of Korah know that we are blessed in the Lord Almighty, that He is the one that keeps us going. He is our strength. He needs to be our focus, our desire. Our desire to please Him, to know Him, to have Him as our hope, have Him as our encouragement, our peace in life. You see, if you remember last week, the phrase "the Lord Almighty" that is repeated a couple of times, at least in this psalm, in the ESV, the phrase is "the Lord of hosts." And the original word means "the Lord of the armies of heaven." Is your strength in yourself? Is your strength in your spouse? Is your strength in your job? Is your strength in a substance? Is your strength in your wealth? Is your strength in your home? What gives you perseverance to keep going every day? You see, all of those things will fail you. But the Lord of the armies of heaven will never fail. Think about Elisha in 2 Kings chapter 6. Listen to these verses. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15. "When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots surrounded the city. 'Oh no, my lord, what shall we do?' the servant asked. 'Don't be afraid,' the prophet answered. 'Those who are with us are more than those who are with them.' And Elisha prayed, 'Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see.' Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked, and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire around Elisha. 'Those who are with us are more than those who are with them.'" Are our eyes open, folks? Not physical eyes, but spiritual eyes to see that as we go through this life, as you face trials and difficulties, as you're on the pilgrim journey of the Christian life, do you see the Lord of the armies of heaven? Do you see the armies of heaven at His disposal, on your side, surrounded around you, so that nothing can come against you, that God, nothing can come against you? Yes, things will come against us, but nothing will overpower you if the Lord Almighty is your strength. Another way in which the psalmists refer to God is at the end of verse 3. "O Lord Almighty, Lord of hosts, my King and my God." The sovereign one over all things, in full control. The unlimited King, the all-wise King, the all-knowing King. He is our God. He is our strength. Or how about in verse 8? Hear my prayer, O Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, O God of Jacob. The psalmist says, the God who was the God of Jacob is my God. Just come to the end of that, haven't we, of Jacob's life. Think back to the life of Jacob. Think back to the times that God intervened in Jacob's life. In fact, from before Jacob was born, God had his hand upon Jacob. Jacob was the chosen one, wasn't he, over his brother. And through all of his difficulties, all of his trials, all of his many years, remember how he said to Pharaoh at the end? My life has been short and full of trouble. And yet he could say, no doubt, in looking back, God has been my strength. So we need to ponder, don't we? We need to take ourselves all the time back to this word and to read about the God of the Old Testament, who is the God now, and ultimately the God who came in Jesus. That's how our strength is in God, as we look to him. And this is what the second part of our verse for the year is saying. It's not saying two separate things. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. It's saying the same thing. It's the same. It's one package. The ESV phrases it like this. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. So NIV, setting your hearts on pilgrimage, on that journey. ESV, the highways to Zion, the highways to the temple are in your heart. Maybe we can put it like this in modern day language. Let God be in the sat-nav of your heart. Let him be your focus. Let him be the one that you are seeking, the one that you are going after. Let him be the one, like that special place you thought about at the beginning, where you long to be. You love to be in that place. You'd like to be there every day. Let God be like that for you. That you are yearning for him. You're crying out for him. And as we think about God, as he is our focus, as the Lord Jesus is our focus, every junction, every turning on the way to God is a delight, is in our hearts. We don't need to go to a physical temple. We go to God. Do you remember last week how we talked about the Lord Jesus being one who came and dwelt among us? He tabernacled amongst us. We don't need a physical temple. We don't even need this building to meet with the Lord Jesus Christ. One thing we didn't mention last week is how Jesus said, destroy this temple, referring to his own body as a temple, and I will rebuild it in 3 days. Speaking about his death and his resurrection. You see, our journey, our destination is the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our sin, and who rose again, and who is victorious, and who is in heaven, and one day he was coming back. That's our focus. The one who shed his blood for our sins. Would you turn with me to Matthew? Matthew chapter 27. verse 45 to 51. Matthew 27 from verse 45. This is an account of Jesus on the cross. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over all the land. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of those standing there heard this, they said, "He's calling Elijah." Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." And when Jesus had cried out in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn from top to bottom. Do you see? At the moment of Jesus' death, at the moment he gave up his spirit, the way to God was opened. The way into the Holy of Holies, that curtain that separated that most holy place, was split, in a sense, from heaven down by the very hands of God. It was torn apart, and the way to God was open. We set our heart on being with God. We set our heart on the Lord Jesus, who's ripped open the curtain and made the way into the holy presence of God by his own death possible. That's what gives us daily strength, folks. And that pilgrimage goes on continually. It's not like a Roman Catholic who might seek to go to Lourdes on a special pilgrimage, or a Muslim who might seek to go to Mecca on a special pilgrimage, or even a Christian who might seek to go to Jerusalem on a special pilgrimage. No, our pilgrimage, our walk is daily, is moment by moment even. We renew our strength continually by focusing on our Lord and our Savior. We pray. We read his word. We seek to obey. We take up our cross. We worship. We serve day in, day out. And we do that until we literally reach Zion, the city of our God, either when he calls us home or when the Lord Jesus returns. Now, I wanted to focus mainly on that verse 5, our verse for the year. But look what happens to people whose hearts are set on following after God. Verse 6, they pass through the valley of Baca. They make it a place of springs. The autumn rains cover it with pools. You imagine these guys on their journey to the temple, and they pass through this place called the Valley of Baca, and there, these blessed people who have got their focus on reaching the temple, they make that valley a place of springs. Maybe the Valley of Baca was a difficult place to pass through. Maybe it was dry until these autumn rains came. And yet the believers whose hearts are full of joy in the Lord, they're just longing to be in the temple, longing to praise God. That's what's giving them strength. And even when they pass through dry and arid places, they make it a place of blessing. Isn't that our prayer? Our focus is so much on the Lord, so much upon what he's got for us, that even when we pass through the difficult, arid, dry, rocky, stony places of life, and we pass, we rub shoulders with others that are going through difficult places, we bring a blessing because God is our strength. And the psalmist prays, "Hear my prayer, Lord Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Look on our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one." Who's he praying for here? He's praying for the king. The king whose job it was to shield the people. He was the anointed one. We pray likewise now. Father God, look upon our anointed one. Look upon our king. Look upon the Lord Jesus. He is our shield. And Korah could, the sons of Korah could say, verse 10, "Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. Yes, I live most of the year elsewhere, but I'd rather have one day in the temple, one day in your presence than 1,000 elsewhere. I'd rather be somebody on the threshold of the temple, a doorkeeper in the house of God, than dwell in the tents of the wicked. I'd rather stand on that door and welcome the pilgrims, welcome the worshippers, than all the blessings of the wicked." Is that your passion? Could the world tempt you with its delights away from God? Would you rather praise the God and worship him and seek him than seek anything else? Why? Verse 11, because the Lord God is a sun and shield. God is your sun and shield. What does that mean? What does the sun do? The sun gives you light. The sun gives you warmth. The sun actually provides us with life itself, doesn't it? Without the sun, we would not have plants. We would not survive. Without God, we do not survive. He gives us light. He gives us guidance. But two, he is our shield. He is our protector. Folks, don't step out of the light of God. Don't step away from God's protection in your life. Keep on his pathway. Keep following after him. Don't trust in other things. Because no good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. That's not saying God will only give you good things if you're perfect, because no one's perfect, right? There's only ever been one perfect man, and he died for our imperfect sins. But the Lord does not withhold good things from those who seek him, who are seeking to live a holy and a blameless life. And the summary verse at the end, "O Lord Almighty, blessed, truly happy is the man and the woman who trusts in you." Folks, if we want to be truly blessed, truly happy in this life, we dare not take our eyes off of our Lord Almighty, our King, our God, the Lord Jesus, our Savior. That he needs to be the one we long for. And as we do that, he will give you strength. He will be your strength. No matter what will come, if our hearts are set on him. Let's pray.